Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're tonight's entertainment.
Look at my butt. Now look at my front butt.
Wada, 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 wada.
Open the circuit to the wave motion gun. Open the circuit.
Blood receiver pressure increases.
All the ship's energy is now in the wave motion gun.
I doubt anyone here would recognize civic virtue if it reached up and bit you in the ass.
Oh, did I hurt your feelings?
Only Magneto's right. There's a war coming. You sure you're on the right side?
I'm back again this week with no net. And it's sure as nervous as I can think it's going to be. Okay, my first act here before I even talk is I'm starting to see some scary stuff going around the net with some of my fellow horror writers, fans, spreading a lot of revisionist or wanting to change history to fit their needs, their goals, their statement of the moment. And I'll get into that later when I review a film. I'm not saying which one yet. But I am officially declaring myself a film historian because history needs to be saved. Not just, yes, most people think of the film historian as someone that can sit around and poop out 80 pages on their on Jess Franco's shots of a monkey's butt in one movie, or write a whole book on Dario Argento's hatred of women and what the hell does that mean and all that. No, I'm a film historian as I want to preserve the history that they're trying, that certain factions and stuff are trying to remove. History matters. And speaking of that, this has really been a bitch of a week. We lost Dick Miller last week, and we lost Tom Finley today. And my favorite, Albert Finney. Yeah, my favorite one of his will always be Miller's Crossing. If you want to go to some old episodes of Steve's Video Store, we talked the holy hell out of that movie and all of its gay annotations and all that song and dance. But that's a great movie, one of the most underrated noirs, and one of the most underrated Coen Brothers films. Go see it, damn it, now. Or Tom Jones, which has one of the best literal food porn scenes ever. Sunday Bloody Sunday. Ellen Brockovich, he's good. There's just so much good stuff he gave us, so. And Julie Adams died. She's appeared so many times at Monster Bash where I've been that got sort of a first-name basis with her just because of how much we've seen each other. She's just like, hi, Julie, how you doing? Hey. Another one in the family is gone, and the family keeps getting smaller and smaller, and that's sad. Well, moving on, the first film I want to review for you tonight is The Night Comes for Us. This is an action film for of Safe Haven, the short from VHS 2 that he directed along with Gareth Evans. Yes, Gareth Evans, you know how much I love The Raid. And basically the plot of The Night Comes For You is this. Guy is a member of a badass mafia crew. His job on that day is to kill everyone in his village when he sees one of the boats crash there. So when he gets there, he starts killing everybody because that's his job. But then he sees a little girl, and as usual in these movies, has a change of heart and has to fight through hell and back to make sure she is safe. Jesus Christ, is the fight on this movie good. And I love you, Dead Alive, but this may be one of the most violent and bloody films I've ever seen this side of Brain Dead and Story of Ricky. The last 20 minutes of this movie is like, what if Jason Voorhees knew Kung Fu? And he just goes through there killing everybody. I mean, it is a bloody mess. And if I had a dollar for every time I was watching this movie, I went, ooh, ah, ow, goddamn, oh, shit, that hurt. I would be a rich man, as the song goes. This is just a great action film. It wasn't my number one action film of the year. It was about three of last year. It was about three or four, but it is still a damn good action film, and you don't have to pay nothing for it. If you got Netflix, go to Netflix, look it up, be a man, take the subtitles, and boom, this is a great movie. I loved it to death, and I can't recommend it anymore. It's like a 4.5 out of 5 on the action scale. Okay, next we're going to get into a real complicated movie with this message, and that's Lars von Trier's The House That Jack Built. This is really a condemnation in showing us really how much we accept pure evil in our society nowadays. Matt Dillon plays a serial killer named Jack, who's talking with this guy called Verge as they're going somewhere. And it's basically about seven incidents of him first becoming a serial killer until basically what probably is the end of his serial killing spree. And they talk about all sorts of things just besides being a killer, like, after the first killing, and then it shows Glenn Gould playing a place, and Verge even just asks him, what the fuck is this arty fart piano that's playing there have to do with hitting someone in the face with a jack? And then we left, and then it shows like a 10-minute dissertation on how Jack is an engineer who wanted to be an architect and has an artistic side and thinks that these murders are his artistic goal inside. And he's got a lot of shitty pizza too. Matt Dillon is excellent as the killer. And what really pisses me off about these movies is it shows women getting killed in horrible, disgusting ways. It shows two little boys get their heads blown off and murdered and turned into statues. No one says nothing. But you take a little duck and you fake getting its legs cut off, well, by fucking God, that's what you're going to rant about and bitch to everyone. Jesus Christ, have we really gotten to that place in society that if any of our fellow humans get killed on screen, we don't give a fuck? But if a little bitty animal is killed, we're going to just go out and go on a riot and kill everybody? And I'm not immune from this hypocrisy. I couldn't watch John Wick for the longest time because of the dog. getting killed looking like my beagle. I'm like, that look like my beagle. He killing my beagle too. Fuck this movie. I ain't going to watch it. But then I fast forward past it, and hey, it's a good action movie. And there's all sorts of speeches about that, about the acceptance of evil, the banality of evil, and all sorts of things. This is a great movie. It's very brutal and very, very violent. It got cut down from NC-17. And I think it's worth seeing if you like Lars von Trier or you like films that are going to make you think. But warning, this is a very artsy movie. If you're not into that art film style blood and gore, just stay away from it. But if you're looking for something cool and different from the same guy who brought you The Kingdom, which is one of my top 10 ghost stories of all time, Kingdom 1 and 2, that is. Sorry, I agree with it, but it's still a damn shame he never got the Kingdom 3 finished and done. Okay, and now for the problematic one. For the past month, 2 or 3 weeks, Shudder is really, and they're really promoting the hell out of this thing called horror noir. First, it was a book on black horror throughout the years. And this is like a companion piece to the book. And it's not a bad first attempt, but I have a big stack of problems with it. One, sometimes they really stretch for their point. Like, and I can understand why a black person would think Birth of a Nation is a horror film to them, but that's still stretching the point. And it brings up some of the problems in the movie. They mention one film that fits a point, but they don't get into others. Like, if they're going to bring up the Birth of a Nation as a point of this is a horror film, why don't they bring up The Intruder with William Shatner and some of the other stuff? There is more KKK movies that are as scary as scarier. The Black Klansman from the 50s. That's another one. But they don't even mention them in Sirhan when, if you're going to go somewhere, go all the way with it or else don't go at all. I am impressed that they bring up what is considered the first black horror film, that Son of Ngagi. That one was the first, and it was made by one of the actors in Amos and Andy, the one who played Amos. And yes, there is still some of the same old Amos and Andy does not represent bad stereotypes. They're bringing up that same old tired argument that was already argued, fought, hashed out, filed, laminated, and just everything has been said to be said about that in the 90s. And they really go for the middle class blacks point of view. And as I get into this review of it, that is a very very deadly point of view. One of the main obsessions in the movie is, as they call it, the trope of the black man wanting to go after the white woman. And they bring up King Kong as an example of that. Oh yeah, look at the black, big black man, King Kong. He's going to go after the white woman. No. Just, yes, that's in King Kong as an unintentional subject, but still, no. You're going to call Candyman a problematic and almost racist film because he goes after a white woman. The same reason he got killed in the slave times. He got killed because he loved and having an affair, and they loved each other as equals. Equal. Oh. But no, it's problematic because I don't like that thing as a white black man going after the white woman. And I'm just going, no, 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 please, no. This is getting great reviews, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, just straight across the board. So I'm expecting to be dead as a doornail by the end of the night, but hey, what can you do? And then they bring up Mantan Moreland, the guy who played Rochester and all that, but they leave one of my favorite lines out of his that showed the stuff that he was slipping in even back in the 1930s. And it was, and he was alone in a room with the white female lead looking out. She said, oh, don't worry. You're with me. There's no such thing as ghosts in the white sheets that are going to come get us. He said, back home, if they found me in a room with a white woman, it ain't the ghost in white sheets I'd be afraid of. Yes, they were going there in there. Oh, and guess what? The Creature from the Black Lagoon is a representative of the black race because it has big lips. Yes, that's the full extent of the argument. The Creature from the Black Lagoon has big old lips, so it must be black. Again, they stretch. And then they complain about no representation by blacks in the 50s. Look at your 50s film, people. If there was a black in it, they would definitely be the comedic relief. Or, even worse, the token Negro. If you're looking for two good films from the 50s that feature blacks and not in the token Negro mode, look up Sam Fuller's The Naked Kiss and The Steel Helmet. Yeah, he even brings up the fact that, yeah, you can fight with them, but as soon as you got back home, you can't even eat, set dinner, and sit at the same lunch counter with them. Yeah. It was not a hidden secret. It was an open secret, and even back then, we didn't like it. It's not horror, but if they're going to stretch, like I said, if you're going to go with a point, you go all the way with it. You don't vague it. You don't just put vague little pictures of this and that and expect people to really go from A to B that straight. If the movie wasn't this important, the first real movie on black horror, I would not be so hard on it. But I am. And moving on, they dismissed the whole 70s trend like the middle class did back then because, well, we didn't like how they represented us of pimps and whores and players and stuff like that. Yes, that is one of my problems of the black exploitation movement. But it isn't the fact that it showed those representations. It's the fact that there was no movies made from the point of view of the middle class black. Then they bring and they speak for the fact of how homophobic it got and stuff. Anytime the word gay comes up in black horror, gloss over it, and then we're like, oh, cousin in the room that no one really wants to admit to exist, and they'd rather let him live in his own little bubble. So it's like they don't have to admit that this person exists. Yes, how they treat the gay word. And the biggest crime for that is they bring up and talk for 5 minutes about ganja and hash. Bill Gunn, a homosexual playwright, movie that has so many gay overtones in it that it ain't even funny. They gloss over all that. And they give more time to... They bring up Blackenstein and Dr. Black and Mr. Hyde. You know why? Not because the movies are good. Those two movies are crap. But because they are representations of the Tuskegee experiments. Now, the Tuskegee experiments in the movie they made in 1989, that was black horror. Taking black males and locking them up in a fucking shack and studying how syphilis destroys their bodies. Yeah, that's it. That was a scary and disturbing freaking movie without even using any horror tropes. But to connect it to Dr. Black and Mr. Hyde and Blackenstein? No. That is just no. Being so thin that you can see completely through the fucking point. And the way they just offhand dismiss the whole 70s genre is just kind of, it's kind of infuriating and disturbing at the same moment. But then they move, they don't talk much about the 80s because sadly, as I agree with them, not much happened in the 80s. Then they talk to the 90s stuff, and then they get into, like, Death by Temptation. I know that I've never gotten to understand why people try to push that movie as an important black culture horror film. It is a boring mess of a movie. The only real importance of it is that it has one of Samuel L. Jackson's first roles in it. Otherwise, it's just boring. Especially when you just skip over a little bit and you got Tales from the Hood, which they cover, and it brings up one of my favorite parts of the movie, and that is Rusty Kundief and Ernest Dickerson talking about horror. Two blacks who love black horror just boom, talking about that. They're in there two or three times. That's enjoyable. They are informative. And they're not, and they don't have any agenda other than, yeah, I like black horror films. And they bring up Demon Knight too, because it has Jada Pinkett Smith as a hero. Not the fact that it was directed by a black guy. And he had to fight to get that role because he had just done Juice and he was dying to do a horror film because he loves horror films. And Demon Knight turned out great. I mean, it had some great black actresses in it. It had Viola Davis, great. Jada Pinkett Smith, she's damn good in it. Yeah, that one is where they get the balance right. And the fact that none of the actors in Demon Knight was known led that you didn't know who was going to survive or if any of them. Because when the biggest person that you know in the movie is Dick Miller, all bets are off. So I got to give them props for the way they showed love to Tales from the Hood, and Tales from the Crypt, St. Demon Knight, but they're stretching it a little bit, but I'll give Demon Knight to them. And thank God they didn't mention crap like Axum. That movie was just bad. And they only spent like 30 seconds on uh, sorry, I'm losing my breath here. They spent 30 seconds, only 30. And another thing they complain about in the movie is how the black person is only in the movie to get killed so the white person can progress towards the end. I don't know. That would say that Nightmare on Elm Street, the Friday the 13th films, treated the non-killer characters as if they were more than just Logwood. Logwood for the frickin' slaughter. That's what they were. They even bring up one of the best books about females in genre. It's out of print and hard to get. I covet my copy, and that's Men, Women, and Chainsaws. If you're a feminist and you're serious about your horror, you need to read that book. And they have Miguel Nunez Jr. And they bring up the fact that he's in Friday the 13th, Part 5. But they joke, he's like, yeah, I got killed. But they don't bring up Return of the Living Dead, where he is one of the main characters. And he survives until the last frames of the movie when the joke ending is pulled off. And it's a great, why did you leave something that important out? Oh, and they do mention Night of the Living Dead and Dawn of the Dead. Night is a great movie because they got to see Dwayne Jones. And they offhandedly mentioned, I bet the racists hated that back then. They don't know the half of it. They were drive-ins where no one could go. It got banned. There were protests because they showed a movie where a black man saves a white girl. The racial history of Night of the Living Dead in the South, or as they put it, where the racists are, is a lot deeper than they give it credit for. And they said that Night of the Living Dead was the first film, they didn't put horror there, that had a strong black lead in the late 60s. Fuck you. In the heat of the night. Hell, any Sidney Poitier movie, especially in the heat of the night, he was going toe-to-toe with them white cops and white racists and not taking any shit. And there's also Jim Brown and Dick, Dick, Dick. They didn't say horror, so it opens the door for me to go there. And then they bring up Bones, which is a blatant remake of J.D.'s Revenge, a movie where they only show clips of it. They don't even talk about it. That one offends me because, really, J.D.'s Revenge is one of the best Sins of the Father ghost movies ever made. Period. No past, no future, no, doesn't have to do with black, white, or anything like that. It's just one of the best Sins of the Father ghost stories, period. Watch it, love it. That's all I got to say. J.D.'s Revenge. But they do mention Bones with an affection, and I think that's true. Bones was a good film. Snoop Dogg was great in it. And you have to watch horror noir just for Ernest Dickerson's story about what happened when Snoop Dogg had a love scene with the one and only Pam Grier. That is beautiful. There is some great moments in this movie, like getting to see William Crane on the screen. I was geeking out. I'm like, holy shit, that's William Crane who directed Blackula. That's fucking awesome. I mean, they do enough good right. They mention Sugar Hill, but they don't mention that Oliver Zombie Army is made up from slaves killed back in the slavery days. So basically, the black woman brings up the slaves to kill the oppressive whites. Yeah, that has no major point in the movie about black horror. And then they get into Candyman, too. Candyman is bad because he wants the white woman, as I said so earlier. And then they stop up at the 2000s, but they bring up Jordan Peele as the savior of horror. And they bring up Get Out is a good movie. It's a great little horror film. But they're bringing it out like this is the salvation. And he is standing up upon the hill with the light shining down on him. Dare think that I'm not going to be the first one to see Us when it comes out. That is one of the creepiest-ass posters and trailers I've seen. He knows his shit. So he will make a good horror film. I just like the fact that we don't even know what the fuck is up with us. And this is in an age where they show everything during a freaking trailer nowadays. They show everything, including the kitchen sink, who made the kitchen sink. You know, we can't ruin spoilers. We got to give them everything they got because they won't come in. And then Us. Yeah, something creepy is going to be happening, but we ain't going to tell you what. You got to see the movie. Oh, man. And talking about Dawn of the Dead. Oh, God. All they say about Dawn of the Dead is, Ken Ford going, well, there were some racist lines and stuff from the script, and I had most of it cut out. And then all they show is the scene of Tom Savini going, I can see you. And all the fans know the line, so I half can say it. That's all they bring up of Night. They basically subjugate Romero, the director, into the corner. It's like he's not important. Oh, and they said the reason that the 70s films are so bad is because white folks worked on them. Yeah. Any black film that had white folks working on them, not as a black film. God, didn't my hurt after they said that. I was just like, oh, God, no. Please don't hurt my brain anymore. But they talk to Jordan Peele like he's the savior of horror. And they have good interviews with William Crane, of course. Ken Forey's in it, sitting next to Tony Todd, the movie theater, and they're talking, and it's pretty interesting. Same with Ernest Dickerson and the guy who directed Tales from the Hood, Rusty Kundief, that is just pure bliss, and I would watch it just for them. But at 81 minutes, this is as shallow can get. They barely only scratch the subsurface unless what they're saying fits in their agenda. And I've said it at first, I am now a film historian. So their agenda is questionable. It's perfect with all of the Me Too, racial appropriation style culture that is nowadays. And those are the ones that I think are going to take my head off for this review. Shoot. Going to go all Harvey Oswald on my ass, or at least give me 2 tons of shit. Yeah. I give horror noir 3.5 stars out of 5. It's a good first attempt. But I'm sure that there's going to be a better one after this, a more fair one done by people who love the subject and don't look at it with a political agenda or academic eyes. Thank you for Shudder for showing it, and thank you to the woman who wrote the book. The book is good. But It's a great first attempt. I'm sure better will come on down the way. And now for the last film of the night, dun, dun, dun. Overlord. Oh my God, it's a movie with a black man as the star, and they don't mention that he's black. What could it be? One of the best World War II action / zombie / horror films ever, action film too, ever freaking made, using practical freaking stunts. They could have done CGI fire and a CGI plane, but what did they do? They blew up an actual plane and had people jump out of it to open the movie. They used practical monster effects. It is just heaven. But they screwed the release of it up so much that it's sad. This is a great freaking movie. I would have loved to have seen this on the big screen. Hell, definitely on IMAX. God, I would have been geeking out looking at all this beautiful R-rated gore and action on a freaking IMAX screen. And like I said, the lead hero, main hero that we follow throughout the movie is a black man. But there's no mention or even say anything about black. They could have gone the easy route. They could have had the Germans say Schwarzer, or asked him if he was the token bleak, token Negro. Yeah, they could have done all that, but they don't. He's just one of the guys. And they have a black man play the sergeant, too. He gets killed 5 minutes. He gets killed 5 minutes into the movie. Sorry for spoilers. But he's great. I could just watch him do his damn thing. But, Overlord is fun. It's out now on Amazon. It'll be out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. So watch it. Enjoy it. It's just plain balls out, balls to the wall fun. Okay, that's pretty much it for tonight. And if you have anything angry to say to me about my review of Horror Noir, say it to me. Put it in the public. I'm not afraid of boos or yays. Yes, black horror deserves its own book. It deserves its own movie. But it deserves a better one. That's all I'm saying. And with that, we're going to talk tomorrow. I am recording a special Valentine's Day episode, which will be unleashed on the world on the 14th. More details on that later. And Sunday will be why we love books. We can talk about romance and all that song and dance, but we're going to talk about why we love books. And I've gotten quotes from writers, why they started writing, and all of that jazz. It's going to be fun. If you love books, tune in. And with that, thank you for listening. Don't kill me. I'm only the messenger. And have a great Valentine's Day week. With that, good night.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Open the circuit to the wave motion gun. Open the circuit.
Blood receiver pressure increases.
in that phone.
All the ship's energy is now in the wave motion gun.
I doubt anyone here would recognize civic virtue if it reached up and bit you in the ass.
Oh, did I hurt your feelings?
Only Magneto's right. There's a war coming.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
You sure you're on the right side?
Hasta la vista, baby.